your channel.
Oh, okay, so going to call the Treasury Oversight Committee meeting for Monday, November 13th, 2017 to order. And first order of business here is if we have anybody from the public who'd like to make any comments. I think we're all members here. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
There's no one in North County, so.
And nobody in the north. Next is the minutes, and to review and approve the minutes of the last meeting, which is May 31st, 2017. So everybody had a chance to look at those minutes, and whether you have any corrections or not. If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'd move to approve the minutes from May 31st.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I abstain. I wasn't at the meeting. Next on the agenda, I'll turn this over to you, Gerald, the quarterly investment report. So because we haven't met in a while, we have two reports, one for the quarter ended June 30th, 2017, and the next one for the quarter ended September 30th, 2017. Which you have a corrected page.
Yes. So we'll start with the quarter ending June 30th, 2017. Second page of that report will start. So the biggest thing, the Treasury was in compliance on June 30th with the Mono County investment policy. The weighted average maturity was sitting at 662 on that day. And it was anticipated that the liquidity requirements of the pool would meet its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of the quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $86,848,918, and the market value was $86,351,134, or 99.42% of cost.
Oh, glad you found it.
This is quite amazing.
It is, with no one else around to direct you.
We're on the quarter report for June 30th, 2017. Just going over that.
So on June 30th, 2017, the earned interest rate was 1.3665%. The following four pages are all the investments. Does anybody have any questions on any of the investments for that quarter? No? Okay. We'll move on then. The next page is the distribution by asset category. You see the listing of the percentage of the portfolio. Cash was at 6%, CDs at 12%, agencies 37%, local government investment pools were at 25%. So we changed the asset category for local government investment pools because we added CAMP to it. So instead of specifying LAIF and CAMP, it's the local government investment pools. And the following page is the maturity distribution. It's got a well-formed letter.
It's very pretty.
Isn't it pretty? It won't look like that for long, though. There's things changing. Following page is the Treasury cash balances as of the last day of the most recent 14 months. You can see the graph, the pool has actually increased. If you look at July to July, we're sitting, June, we're sitting at about $7 million higher than we were the prior year. And that's, as far as I can tell, I look at all the cash balances for all the different funds, for all the districts and everything. It looks like everybody's kind of just saving a little bit, not spending as much, which is actually probably a good thing.
We wish we can be contributing to that factor.
Yeah. And then below is the maturities by month of all the investments. Following chart is the quarter to year yield comparison. You see the county was at approximately 1.37, LAIF was at 0.92, and the 2 year at that time was at 130. And those are averages for the quarter. And then the investment pool participants, percentages changed a little bit, not a whole lot. Hilton Creek did join the pool during that time period. And then we go on to the investment report ending September 30th, 2017. So the Treasury was in compliance with the Mono County investment policy as of September 30th, 2017. Weighted average maturity was at 705 days. Our max is 730, if you weren't sure. It is anticipated that the County Treasury will be able to meet the liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of the quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $78,838,477, and the market value was $78,315,461, or 99.337% of cost. This is our lowest for the
quarter.
Lowest quarter. After September, it starts slowly increasing again. We start getting taxes in. As of September 30th, 2017, the earned interest rate was 1.3751%. Any questions on any of the investments on the next four pages?
Yeah, just note that a couple of the investments are now disallowed. They're on our naughty list. Mm-hmm. But we, before those investments were put on that list, we had existing investments mm-hmm. in those companies, and the pool has a policy of holding investments to maturity. And if we were to liquidate, say, Wells Fargo or JP Morgan, the pool would experience a loss.
Okay.
And so we'll just transition those out. And the Wells Fargo is coming up here soon in a couple of months, but the JP Morgan is out there for a couple of years.
Yes. And then you'll notice on the first page of the listing, we've added CAM, California Asset Management mm-hmm. program to it. We've got about $7 million in there and $8 in LAIF. They're actually outperforming LAIF by a few basis points. So we'll be moving them back and forth depending on how each pool is performing.
They both have the same liquidity requirements, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The following page is the distribution by asset category. That's the page that we gave you the correction on. And the correction was on the local government notes. It did not have the payment applied to it. I didn't update the report software to account for that payment until the day of the meeting.
So we currently have two notes outstanding to pool participants, one to the county itself for our accounting system, mm-hmm. and the other was a protective measure on our treasury, or not, our election equipment purchase,
yes.
in case the law came out, and so we could preserve a refund
to
there.
Refund
so.
It, yeah.
And then next quarter you'll see a small one for one of the fire districts.
White Mountain. Yes. It was, what is it, $23,000 or something like that?
Really,
it's really
small. It's very short term, too.
Yeah, less than a year or sooner. Mm-hmm. Following page is the maturity distribution. Not a whole lot of changes. We're trying to keep the 5-year right around $3 million or so invested. So the following page, you can see September to September again.
It's quite a bit of growth.
We're about $7 million ahead of where we were last year in the pool. And we did break $100 million for a few days this year, so that was interesting. Following page is the quarterly yield comparison. The county was sitting at about 1.38%, LAIF was at 1.07%, and 2-year treasury was 1.36%. So we're within 2 basis points of the 2-year treasury. This next quarter, we will not outperform the 2-year treasury. They ramped up. They're at 162 this morning, 161 something.
Did you buy some?
No. Our 2-year slot is fairly full. But that's the end of that, and I did want to go over, so there are some changes. Because of the flattening yield curve, there's some opportunities in the short term, which we've purchased about $3.5 million in treasuries for the 10 and 12 month range, which gives us, at the 6 month, it's about 20 basis points over LAIF, and at the 12 month, it's about 26 basis points over LAIF. So we got a little bit more money, and it doesn't affect the WAM too much. So try to keep that under the limits.
Why doesn't LAIF do a better job? Why aren't they doing that?
They used to.
I think I
don't want to drag us off track, but
possibly their liquidity. I mean, because you've got, you know, they have a lot of money going out on a daily basis, a lot of money coming in. So in order to hold that, your liquidity has to be higher. Okay. So, but they're still doing pretty good. When we first started, what was LAIF?
0.3 or something like that.
Yeah, it was small. It was pretty bad.
Because I remember the days when I was up at 7%.
Yeah.
Those are the days.
Yeah, you'll
never
see
those again.
Sounds
like the Wild West.
Right. Other people were at 10 and 12.
No, that's been a challenge. But Bob, I think it is that. It's cash in, cash out.
And it makes sense.
They have a bunch moving around. So.
Any other questions on the quarterly investment reports? No? Okay. And the next item.
Next item on the agenda is the investment policy. This is an annual event for us. The responsibilities of this committee is to review the investment policy. Gerald and myself make recommendations for changes every year, if necessary. And then this board votes in a motion to approve the investment policy. To be agendized with the Board of Supervisors. The government code requires the county to adopt an investment policy every year, which we do in usually January or early February.
So I have three recommendations. One is on page 5. It's under negotiable certificates of deposit. For some reason, originally, the policy didn't have state and federal credit unions in there. They are federally insured. It's not through FDIC, it's through NCUA, I think it is, but it's still federally backed, so they're fully insured just like a standard CD. So I'd like to add that.
Up to the same amount, right?
Yes, up to the same amount, $250,000. I'd like to add that because we're leaving some money on the table. There's some five-year CDs out there right now that are 135, 145 that are credit unions that we can get that, you know, a little bit extra basis points on. Did anybody have any comment on that? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the following page, two corrections on the following page. One is changing the California Asset Management Program CAMP to no more than 20% of our portfolio. It used to read no more than 10% of CAMP's portfolio, but that's when CAMP was sitting at about $150 million, and they're like $2 billion now. So,
10% would be a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. So we figure we hold it down to 20% of the portfolio.
And there's no limit in government code.
There
right?
is no limit to CAMP
like,
government.
Like it's our choice. Right. So this is a restriction that the county has adopted as more restrictive than government code.
Yes, and that for me was just diversify between like LAIF and CAMP, so we don't put all our eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. LAIF is at $65 million limit on theirs.
That's LAIF, right?
That's LAIF rules, not government codes. So. And then the following, you can see under commercial and savings bank, that code section was just two of the numbers were reversed on the whole policy that I had found.
Good catch.
And the last one was just adding Deutsche Bank to our restriction list as being one of the major offenders.
Yeah, they have
like
the largest penalty.
Oh, them? Yeah, it was big.
It's pretty big. One thing is that a lot of these organizations, these investment vehicles, wouldn't qualify for us to invest in, because, you know, we go through checking their credit ratings.
Yeah, their financials.
Financials and everything, and so even though they're restricted on here, it's very unlikely we would ever, in our wildest dreams, choose Deutsche Bank as an investment vehicle, because they're just not financially sound.
Yeah, they're having their issues, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, one of the things is, I don't know if I would recommend adding more to this list. The reason I say that is, so the more I research it, what they got caught doing was standard financial practice at that time.
Right.
All banks were doing it. I don't care if you were big, little, they were all doing it. So I don't know if we really want to add more than the really top offenders. I don't know how anybody feels about
that. Yeah, I think otherwise,
that.
I think you end up starting to restrict yourself at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you're going
yeah,
like, okay, now
yeah.
you're...
But for instance, Treasurer Cheng has made it a political statement with Wells Fargo
right.
that we don't agree with their practices. So even though their commercial side did not get in trouble,
correct.
we're not going to do banking,
yeah.
we're not going to do investing, we're not going to buy any of their products.
Which is good and bad.
Right.
Anyway.
Is there a trend with other jurisdictions in that regard?
This is kind of... fell off the radar. There's not much discussed anymore.
I haven't heard much about it all in the last 6 months to a year, even where there's been very little. I think most people are going, where's my rate of return?
Yeah, that's
sorry, I think it's more about earnings than it is about.
Well, the state took it one step forward. They actually divested, which caused them to lose money.
Right, yeah, you know, the state's taking a much bigger political statement on it, which another reason maybe why LAIF isn't doing as well, but anyway. There's other issues there in terms of that.
But I think most of the counties realized that it was kind of a banking thing at that time. That's what they were doing.
Right.
So I
wouldn't be in favor of adding a bunch more to the list. I think that would be counterproductive at the end of the day.
Makes it complex.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, in the end, you know, we have a criteria that we go through, and it's unlike we...
Yeah. At which point do you add them back on? Okay, we penalized you forever, or...
So that's the only changes. Does anybody have anything that they want to add to that? Anything that they want to discuss about any other changes in the policy?
Just one curious, you brought up a meeting or two ago about investing in the Bank of India's U.S. branch. I didn't see Bank of India listed on there. How are you progressing with
there wasn't enough support from the group, so I decided not to do it.
But
it's still sitting out there.
Yeah. You can still invest in banks that are, international banks are licensed by the...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As long as they're FDIC insured.
Yeah.
And with FDIC insurance, if the bank goes under, there's two things that happen. First thing is they try to get another bank to take over. This happens within a week. I mean, they're literally, the doors are closed, they reopen within a week, and they're going again. If they cannot find a bank to take them over, that's when the insurance comes in. And within that week, they start paying out everybody's, all the creditors, anything that's insured, they start funding all their...
Is that covered by the collateralization pool, too, in California? You know, our securities are collateralized, not our securities, but our investments in California?
I don't think that it, okay. not for the, not the, not the federal
not
insurance.
Not the federal ones, mm-hmm. right. Okay.
So it's not, there's no risk with going, the key to get FDIC insurance is if you're an out-of-country bank, is you have to have a brick-and-mortar building somewhere. And most of them have them in New York so that they can do business here. So if that's it.
Questions?
So entertain a motion to approve it if we don't have any other comments or discussion.
I'd move to approve the investment policy as presented.
Second.
First and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. So the last thing on the agenda is we wanted to have just a dialogue on the difficulty it took to get five people here so that we could have a quorum to have a meeting. I think our rules require us to meet every quarter. And we didn't hit that mark, even though we had several doodle requests out there. Yeah, there are some options, and one might be for us to schedule this meeting on a reoccurring calendar, you know, say the first Monday following every quarter. Another option would be to disband the committee altogether, which is would save us $4,000 in cash and $4,000 in staff time. I personally like the protection of the oversight, and I think it's good for our non-county participants to have a voice in our investing practices. So, I don't know, Gerald, you have anything else to add?
Took 3 months. Three or four doodle requests to find everybody scheduled to get five, and it ended up being there. Everybody showed up today, so that was great. But it was difficult. I had to keep canceling them. And
I think it'd be nice to have a standing date where it's set.
Yeah,
and that helps. Then if you have to move that for a conflict, you go through the process. But
right, I think if everybody has it on their calendar, you know about it. And maybe having Rob as an alternate for you guys.
I'll have to go back. Shields is the normal one from the board. Yeah, he's out this week, so that's why I was here. So I'm not sure how deep you get with the alternates, but we've looked at that too. It's two or three or four or five. But anyway.
So is there a better day, Monday? How are Mondays for everybody? Is it if we set them out far enough that?
Yeah, generally, if it's not a there's just work around your holiday schedules and stuff like that.
Yes.
Bottom hit that. But
well, hopefully we're done with the holidays. So our next meeting
would be February.
February, maybe the second Monday. Are you involved in the LTC?
No.
Yeah, see, that'd be the other conflict to the LTC, if and when.
So maybe the first Monday would be
I'm an alternate on that one, too, so it's one of those.
It seems like we have meetings on every day of the week.
Yeah, there is no good day. Less bad. So,
I do like this time because Mondays are o'clock. Great.
The time frame works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just make Mondays lots of meetings. meeting, come here for my third meeting.
Is there a better day of the week?
11.
No, Mondays actually work pretty well.
Mondays? Mm-hmm. So maybe the first Monday.
If you miss the LTC meeting, it'd probably be good.
Okay, so that'll be before, most of the time, that'll be before the Board of Supervisors.
So maybe move it back a month. Or the third Monday.
Third Monday.
What months are we talking about?
So it'd be
roughly
February.
February. Let's see.
May.
Yep. May.
May.
July.
July. And November, right?
July could be a challenge because it would usually fall around July week.
No, it'd be November.
November.
Because it's the following. I can't get the report. Leif takes until the 15th to get
his
hard number, so it's hard
August?
To put it all
together.
August.
Yeah, it would be August.
Oh, good. That's better than July.
August and then November. That works well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then third Monday at 11 a.m.?
Third or first?
Third. Oh, so that he has time to get the reports done. First might be a little difficult, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, then, and it hasn't gone to the board yet.
And it hasn't gone to the board.
So I figure after it's approved, we'll bring it to the...
I will not be here in February, most likely. I am at a conference.
Okay.
Most likely, if not.
Well, if you can sense out something like this, we can plug it all in and see how.
Yeah.
If there's one where a bunch of people are going to be gone that day, you move it back or move it today.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll put out when we get back today, we'll put out a meeting request for that Monday. Yeah. And then
President's Day reschedule. On the 19th. I don't know if that affects anybody.
Or do we have a holiday? Is it the holiday that day for us?
Might have to work around the February one.
Okay. How about Monday the 26th?
Is it the 4th?
Mm-hmm. That's the 4th Monday.
Great.
Does that work?
Yeah.
It's my birthday, but sure.
You bring in, we'll bring cake?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hey.
President's birthday, Rob's birthday.
Yeah, that was the same month.
All right, great. So, if there's any other questions, I have. So, there's a treasurer who takes all of our information from all the counties through the CAC. He's a member of the CACTAC. I forget which one he is, and figures out the low end of the earned interest rate for all the county, medium, and the high, and he has all. All these
charts.
All these charts.
All kinds of
it's not so much charts. It's mainly just spreadsheets. And so we fall dead even for last year in the middle, the median. We are, that number is our number. But then when you, what's interesting is when you take our expenditures into account, we jump up to about 30% at the top. So a lot of other counties are spending a lot of money on advisors and stuff, and that really shows that, you know, it brings them down on their rates. Mm-hmm. So it seems like everything's going pretty good.
Well. Yeah, that's great.
We can see what happens with the economy. Everybody knows that the Treasury yield curve is flattening. We're down about 72 this morning between the twos and tens. The last seven recessions has a inverted yield curve has preceded the last seven recessions.
Right. And we're now in the longest recovery in history.
Yeah, we're almost into that inverted.
But as somebody said to me the other day, at this point the past is interesting, but not necessarily.
It's true, because nothing's flowing like it normally has historically.
So it's always, well, what have we done in the past? Well, thank you. What about the future? Well, I don't know. So
I can predict the past with more clarity.
That's right. Exactly right. That treasurer's report from other comparing other counties, is that a monthly?
No, he does it once a year.
Oh, once a year.
Yeah, he just does it once a year.
You might put that in here. And then annually, you might put it in here, just so it gives us a sense of how we're doing compared to
that. I think it's good because I experienced this as an auditor working with counties, is that sometimes we forget that we have colleagues outside and beyond the Eastern Sierra.
Right.
And that, you know, they might do things differently than we do.
Well, and as a taxpayer, it's a logical question. So that sounds great. You're making that rate. Yeah. How do we compare to another county?
Just give us the summary page, though, versus all the...
That's right.
Yeah, that's what we'll have to do. We'll have to break it down because his is extensive.
Here's counties.
Didn't we get one along a few years back?
Yeah, a few years back. Yeah,
a long time ago. I think the first meeting. Maybe it was second.
Yeah. How are property taxes then going with the sale of the mountain and then the appeals that are still going on?
I don't have any information on that right now.
No more information.
Meeting with the assessor pending.
Last I heard, I don't think the mountain deal is.
It's not as straightforward.
No. Yeah. Well, it's just going to go into another appeal.
Right.
Anyway.
It's going to go into another appeal. That's a concern. Yeah. So right now I'm planning to leave the impound account alone. I think there's enough money in there.
That's the question I keep
getting
from our board.
Draw off from anybody else's delinquent taxes.
Smart.
We did get a large chunk of change in our delinquents, so when that gets apportioned out, you should see that money coming to you.
Okay.
In collections, it's going pretty good this year. We're about $1 million year to date compared to last year, higher in collections. It seems like a few more people are paying their second installment with their first installment, which is a good thing, which means be a lot of money. So,
and we have a tax sale that's ending today.
Yeah, tax sale ends today. In fact, I think it's done now.
Did they do any?
What I saw this morning, we had four land-based parcels on the tax sale and 20 timeshares. There were no timeshares bid on.
Those are the Heidelberg, right?
Yeah.
$250? Hey! And you think,
why?
Wait a minute.
If you hang in there, we'll keep lowering them every year until we have enough data to walk away from them.
Wait a minute.
So two of the four land-based parcels had bids this morning. The other ones did not yet. I'm hoping that'll be surprised and go back and there'll be something.
Maybe you missed something.
So there were no bids for the timeshares?
There weren't last year either.
Yeah. We had six last year at the sale. Yes, yeah. But that at 120.
Yeah, so this is the second year that we've had timeshares. And, you know, we're trying to build up some history here to show that it's not worth our money.
Yeah, it's time to discharge
to put them.
That's where we're on the sale. Yeah. But we have to show that it's not worth our time still.
Yeah.
And then let the timeshare deal with it. I mean, it literally brings us in no revenue. The way it's set up is each individual owner of their week pays their own taxes,
right,
instead of the other way around where the association pays the whole taxes for the
property. What they need is an impound.
Yes, but they fall below the minimum threshold, so we get no taxes on Heidelberg anymore. So that's just how it was set up years ago. I would recommend if we ever have any timeshares come in again, we don't let them set up that way.
So I don't follow. So people are paying their taxes on Heidelberg.
No, there are no taxes collected on Heidelberg. There's nothing assessed. So we have a minimum of $1,000 assessed value, and they've all fallen below that $1,000 for that 1 week period. The way it was set up, each one.
Right.
A week at the Heidelberg is not worth more than $1,000.
Assessed value.
Yeah, assessed value.
Top on my timeshare. Because I got one in San Diego County that's not more. You know, they hit us for $150 or something like that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, but that's the age.
So,
of
but
the
if
property,
you add up
the
all
values.
Of the weeks and the number of units.
Yeah. But each one is treated as a separate ownership, so that's the tax problem.
And they've let it, you know, they've let it go down. Yeah. I mean, we have 120 on tax sale. That means there's 120 that aren't paying any dues on any maintenance to them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, unless they
taxes
figure out how to change
to
it around,
problems. Yeah,
yeah,
that's a challenge.
But yeah, we definitely want to look into any timeshares that come back into the county and say, oh, hold on, we want some input on how you're going to set up who's paying the taxes.
Yeah, cause a lot of that will go to the owner, not to the HOA.
Yes,
Yeah, when I was at Alpine, we negotiated with a developer that's trying to put in timeshares. He's not a reputable developer, but we negotiated for him to pay us our administrative costs to do taxes, which was kind of unheard of. So.
Well, I own a timeshare, and it comes in. It's all based in my maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. So the association takes care of it all.
It's like an escrow.
Because we're just about at the end of the year, we get hit
for the assessment. And then we get hit for the ten. Then I just pay the taxes. Okay,
yeah. So you have a setup like Heidelberg
just
setup.
Like, yeah.
So I think it's more the newer ones. It's more normal to have the person pay.
Because how's the one done? It's 80. Not 80/50 anymore because we have issues with that one with the whole parcel tax thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing but a nightmare. I'm all for it.
That is a timeshare deal, but it's all that is on the individual
fractional ownership.
Yeah, those little nickel dime things in San Diego County is like that. There's
but
little nickel dime and paying home.
But it's
turning my 85 cents
goes to
the same
problem. It's the 80/50 has other challenges right now with the whole structure of that. It's all in the tax bill individually.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken back a bunch of weeks to the HOA. Their goal was how do we get rid of them basically because they're not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're still paying everything on them. So the HOA was yay close here 6-8 months ago and looking at folding up and going away.
Yeah.
So the building would be a nightmare. Some of their original investors that I think have pulled out now also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got other financial challenges.
Well, it's on its, I think, third investor.
Exactly. So
or
it's,
more, yeah.
It's going, yeah. And they have a lot of it sold, but we met with the HOA a while back and some different issues. And it's to the point of trying to make the decision, do we keep it or do we walk away? Which would be kind of disastrous for that area up there, but for the folks that own the stuff, yeah.
Well, I heard Wyndham. Is that right?
Quite an investment in
Heidelberg now?
Wyndham owns, Wyndham is the RCI, which is what we, our company. And when I went into Heidelberg to hustle them for something, I noticed, I saw Wyndham, and I said, Wyndham owns this? She said, oh, yeah, when I talked to the manager there. So, they're huge, of course.
But they're not set up the same. I mean, when you go stay at a timeshare resort and you're not a member, you get a sales pitch.
Right.
And Heidelberg, they have units, weeks on the time on that are defaulted taxes. They're not on this timeshare, but or on this tax sale, but they were last time. So Heidelberg actually owns one that are on the tax sale.
Right.
So I think they need a restructure in how they run their business.
Right.
Because otherwise they're just going to keep going down.
Reinvest in the property there would be good. But.
Well, I was hoping when Wyndham bought into them, they would.
Maybe do that.
You know,
yeah.
Give them some money and get them back
on
track.
We need to sit down with them and say, whoever them is, because the manager is just a local person that gets people in and gets people out. Sit down and sort of say, how are you guys doing? You know, what's going on? Think about it in terms of improving the situation. Because there's a lot of people turning out of there.
Well, June is doing really well right now.
They're right in the core of it.
I'm sure they can get people in there and, you know, buy some of those timeshares.
People in there. Pictures of Clark Gable in the lobby.
Yeah.
In Omaha. Back.
And I have some beautiful pictures of it on the tax sale when it was first
heard. That's right.
That's the biggest problem, is best days are.
That's one of the things Gerald does with our tax sale is he goes and takes pictures of all the properties.
Yeah, which is interesting sometimes when the people don't want you there.
Right.
I was thinking I wanted a bulletproof vest that said TTC on the back.
Yeah.
We'll work on that, Gerald. All right, if there aren't any other comments, we'll adjourn to the next meeting and look for a meeting request so we can get these things on a quarterly basis, on a set schedule. I don't know if we can get on the, if we're on the calendar on the treasurer's website, or not the treasurer, but the clerk's website, you know, where they have the agendas out there.
Yeah, we'll get it on there.
That'd be good.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.